The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases, especially written, for people learning English.
On today's program, you will hear reports from Katie Weaver, Jill Robbins, and Susan Shand. Later, Brian Lynn presents this week's technology report. We close with the next part of The Making of a Nation. But first, here are Katie and Jill.
Several airlines canceled flights to the United States or changed planes they were using because of concerns about the new 5G service in the country. The airlines said they were warned that the widely used Boeing 777 aircraft was especially at risk of radio interference by the new high-speed wireless service. Flight Radar 24 is a service that provides information about aircraft and flights around the world. It reported that the Boeing 777 was the second most used wide-body plane on flights to and from the U.S. last year, with around 210,000 flights.
Emirates is the largest user of the Boeing 777 plane for long-distance flights. The carrier said Wednesday that it would suspend several flights to the U.S. because of concerns associated with the planned deployment of 5G mobile network services in the U.S. It said it would continue flights to Los Angeles, New York, and Washington. Other carriers, including Singapore Airlines, Air India, Korean Airlines, Japan Airlines, and Germany's Lufthansa, said they will change to other planes on flights to the U.S. The airlines said they made the changes after being informed that 5G signals may interfere with the radio altimeter installed on the Boeing 777. But Air France said it planned to continue flying its Boeing 777s into American airports. It did not say why it made its decision. Qatar Airways, Israel's El Al, and Abu Dhabi's Etihad Airways also said their services had not been affected.
The cancellations and changes came as AT&T and Verizon started 5G service in the U.S. on Wednesday. The phone companies have delayed the start of the high-speed networks two times since early December. They also agreed to delay and limit 5G service near some U.S. airports after 10 American airline companies asked to stop the deployment of 5G service near some airports. The 5G network runs on a radio spectrum known as the C-band, which airline companies say could interfere with the operation of some altimeters. An altimeter sends radio waves from an airplane to the ground to measure how far above the ground an airplane is traveling. Pilots use it to help with landing planes, especially during bad weather. Similar 5G networks have been deployed in Europe and South Korea with no reports of interference. In France, 5G network providers reduce the power of 5G transmitters to avoid interference.
In the U.S., There are two different agencies with different responsibilities for airline safety and communication. The Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, oversees airline safety, while the Federal Communication Commission, or FCC, supervises communications by radio, television, satellite, cable, and wire. The FCC has established that the C-band used by 5G networks will not affect the radio spectrum used by airlines. And AT&T and Verizon have said their equipment will not interfere with aircraft electronics. The FCC's chairwoman said, in a statement, that the 5G deployment can safely coexist with aviation technologies in the United States, just as it does in other countries around the world. The FAA has already cleared several aircraft to fly into airports with 5G signals, but the Boeing 777 is not on the list. The agency has said it will permit planes with modern, dependable altimeters to operate around high-power 5G. But planes with older altimeters will not be permitted to make landings under low visibility conditions. But the FAA said signal strength and the transmitting direction of 5G towers could be the problem. The FAA said in December, base stations in rural areas of the United States are permitted to emit at higher levels in comparison to other countries, which may affect radio altimeter equipment. Boeing said it was working with all parties on a data-driven solution for the long term that ensures all commercial airplane models can safely operate as 5G is deployed. I'm Jill Robbins.
And I'm Katie Weaver.
Indonesia's parliament on Tuesday passed a law to move the country's capital from Jakarta to an area deep within the jungle of Kalimantan on Borneo Island. The country's leaders have been considering the move for several years. The new law provides a legal system for President Joko Widodo's $32 billion project. It explains the requirements for the development of the new capital, including financing and governance. The new capital will be a symbol of the identity of the nation, as well as a new center of economic gravity, Planning Minister Suharto Manoarfa told Parliament. The move will start from between 2022 and 2024, with roads and ports built first. Some projects will operate as public-private partnerships, the finance ministry said. Jakarta, a city of 10 million people, suffers from overcrowding, flooding, and air pollution. Several former presidents have considered moving the capital, but none have advanced the idea until now. Widodo first announced his plan in 2019. The plan got delayed by the COVID-19 pandemic. The new city has a name that he chose, Nusantara. The word is a Javanese term for the Indonesian island group. There is not a set date for the finalization of the project. Jakarta will remain the capital until there is a presidential order to formally change it. The government said in a statement that the new capital will strengthen trade relationships and give Indonesia a better position in world trade routes, investment flows, and technological innovation. The government also said the new capital will be low carbon. It added that the city will support health and technology industries. Critics say the law was pushed through with little consideration for environmental concerns or public opinion. Nusantara will be led by a chief official who acts as a minister, a member of the law's special committee said on Monday. Jakarta's former governor, Basuki Tajhaya Purnama, also known as Ahok, is among those being considered for the position. I'm Susan Shand.
Software maker Microsoft is buying the video game company Activision Blizzard for nearly $69 billion in one of the biggest technology deals in history. Microsoft announced the agreement Tuesday and said it is expected to be completed in 2023. The deal must be approved by government regulators. Activision Blizzard produces a series of popular and profitable video games, including Call of Duty, World of Warcraft, and Candy Crush. Microsoft is the maker of the Xbox gaming system and is expected to add those games, along with others, to its subscription service. If approved, the deal will turn the software maker into one of the world's largest video game companies. It is expected to better position Microsoft to take on other major video game competitors like China's Tencent and Japan's Sony. The deal is also expected to help Microsoft better compete with technology companies developing equipment and systems for a future metaverse. Metaverse is a term used to describe a non-physical world in which individuals can interact through different kinds of virtual technology. Among the companies that have confirmed the development of metaverse technologies are Microsoft, Facebook's parent Meta, Google, and Apple. In announcing the agreement, Microsoft Chief Executive Satya Nadella said gaming is expected to play an important part in the development of metaverse systems. Experts said the deal will turn Microsoft into the third largest video game company in the world, a position formerly held by Japan's Nintendo. Only Sony, maker of the PlayStation gaming system, and Chinese technology leader Tencent are bigger. Microsoft's Xbox already develops and produces its own games. But the deal with Activision Blizzard will give the company control of many additional games. This is likely to raise questions about whether Microsoft could shut out competitors by restricting Activision games to its own Xbox system and Windows-powered computers. Nadella, however, promised this would not be the case. He said the deal would actually help people play games wherever, whenever, and however they want. Daniel Ives is an industry expert with Wedbush Securities. He told the Associated Press that Microsoft needed to do an aggressive deal because the company has plans to greatly expand in streaming and metaverse development. Ives added that the size of the deal is likely to bring closer attention from regulatory agencies in the United States and Europe. One group, Public Citizen, criticized the proposed agreement. The group's Alex Harmon called on the Federal Trade Commission and the U.S. Department of Justice to block the deal. If Microsoft wants to bet on the metaverse, it should invest in new technology, not swallow up a competitor, Harmon said. The deal came after Activision Blizzard faced months of accusations involving sexual misconduct at the company by several top managers. There were also employee accusations of workplace discrimination and unequal pay. The company has said it is still investigating and dealing with the accusations. On Monday, Activision Blizzard said it had fired or pushed out more than 36 employees for violating company policies and disciplined 40 others since July. In a conference call with investors, Nadella did not directly speak about the misconduct issues, but he did talk about the importance of company culture. It's critical for Activision Blizzard to drive forward on its renewed cultural commitments, he said, adding, "The success of this deal will depend on it." I'm Brian Lynn.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. Woodrow Wilson's first year as president showed the American people that they had elected a strong and effective leader. Wilson took office in 1913. He moved quickly to fulfill his campaign promises. He won congressional approval for lower import taxes, a new tax on earnings, and restrictions on the power of big companies. These were some of the most important economic reforms the nation had seen in many years. Larry West and Morris Joyce continue the story of Wilson's administration.
Most of Woodrow Wilson's political victories were on national issues. He had little experience with international issues. But foreign events soon began to demand more and more of his time. With all of his successes at home, it is a surprising fact of history that his presidency is remembered best for its foreign policy. The story of Woodrow Wilson's foreign policy is full of high ideas and political bravery. But it also is a story of fierce struggle and lost hopes. It is a story that begins across America's southern border in Mexico.
At that time, Mexico had been ruled for many years by Porfirio Diaz. As Diaz grew older, his power began to weaken. In 1911, a revolt broke out. It was led by Francisco Madero, the leader of a land reform movement. Diaz understood he could not win. He resigned and fled the country. Madero declared himself president. However, powerful groups in Mexico opposed him. In a short time, one of his own generals, Victoriano Huerta arrested him. Madero was murdered soon after Huerta seized power. President Wilson refused to recognize Huerta's government. He believed other forces would rise up against him. Wilson was right. Another revolt began, led by General Venustiano Carranza.
Wilson offered aid to Carranza. Carranza rejected the offer. He was afraid of American interference in Mexico. He told Wilson that Mexican troops would do all the fighting. He only wanted guns and ammunition. American forces did, however, get involved in the conflict. President Wilson learned that a ship from Germany was bringing supplies to the Huerta government. The ship would land at the Mexican port of Veracruz. Wilson ordered the United States Navy to seize and occupy the port. The move started a storm of criticism in the United States and throughout Latin America.
Many people denounced President Wilson. They called him an imperialist and a fool. They asked, what right did the United States have to interfere in Mexico? Wilson finally stopped American military action in Mexico. He tried to settle the dispute at an international conference at Niagara Falls, Canada. The effort failed. The conference did not produce a settlement. While the diplomats were talking, Carranza's revolutionary forces were fighting. They moved on Mexico City, the capital. President Huerta fled. Carranza formed a new government.
The new government began to split apart almost immediately. Another general, Francisco Pancho Villa, tried to seize power. He forced Carranza out of Mexico City. Then he formed his own government. President Wilson recognized Villa and his government. Carranza, however, refused to give up. Day by day, his army grew stronger. He forced Villa to retreat. Then President Wilson recognized Carranza's government. Like Carranza, Villa refused to give up. He decided to try to start a war between Mexico and the United States. Pancho Villa wanted the United States to attack Carranza. Then he would step in to lead Mexican forces in battle. That would make him a hero. With this plan in mind, Pancho Villa attacked an American town across the border in Texas. He killed 19 persons.
President Wilson immediately ordered a large American force to find and punish Villa. At first, Carranza welcomed the move. Villa was his enemy. He wanted him captured. Then Carranza began to fear that the American troops might threaten his government. He demanded the withdrawal of all American soldiers from Mexico. Tensions increased between the two countries. Villa's forces attacked another town in Texas. President Wilson considered asking Congress to declare war. But the crisis cooled down before then. American forces were withdrawn, and the people of Mexico elected a new government. They chose Carranza as president.
As President Wilson dealt with the situation in Mexico, trouble began to surface in another part of the world. The crisis was in Europe. Tensions were growing between several groups of nations. They were on the edge of what would become World War I. The major powers in Europe had been threatening each other for years, but they had not fought for more than 40 years. Most Americans believed there would never be another European war. Such a war would be unbelievably destructive. Millions would die. No nation would win.
Europe depended on a balance of power to keep the peace. On one side were the Central Powers, Germany, Austria-Hungary, and Italy. On the other side were the members of the Triple Entente, Britain, France, and Russia. Each side made every effort to win the support of Europe's smaller nations. A number of nations refused to join either side. The neutrals included Switzerland, Belgium, the Netherlands, and the Scandinavian countries.
This political balance did not prevent the major nations from competing with each other for colonies and economic power. They competed all over the world, in China, in the Middle East, in Africa, everywhere money could be invested. Competition was especially sharp in the Balkans. This was the area of Europe between the Adriatic and Black Seas. Many nations claimed special interests in the Balkans, and several Balkan countries were fighting each other. The whole continent seemed ready to explode.
The spark that set off the explosion came in the city of Sarajevo. The date was June 28, 1914. Sarajevo had been taken over by Austria, and the Archduke of Austria, Ferdinand, had come for a visit. Ferdinand was expected to become the next Emperor of Austria. Seven young extremists from the area decided to assassinate the Archduke to protest Austrian control. One of the extremists threw a bomb at the royal family. The bomb missed its target, but another extremist shot at the group. He killed both the Archduke and the Archduke's wife.
The assassinations in Sarajevo started a series of events that quickly brought war to all of Europe. Soon the continent was covered with armies, battles, and death.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.